Leon Edwards' team, I think, gets it. I think they're on the mark here. The expectation is that Edwards is going to face Kamaru Usman in a rematch after Edwards knocked him out in the fifth round of their recent fight. But that could change. And Edwards' coach, Dave Lavelle, was on the MMA Hour recently, and he had the following to say. You never know how these things work. There's a lot of wheeling and dealing behind closed doors. We're in a dirty game, and you've got to know how to play your cards to keep them tight to your chest. You know, I know they're gearing up this Hamzat guy. He's their next cash cow, and they're fast-tracking him. So listen, it's not a foregone conclusion that we're going to get Usman. Lavelle is right. It is a dirty game, and you do have to play your cards right. Most of the time, the fighters and their camps don't have any cards to play. All those cards are being dealt to them by the UFC for the most part. And so with this case, there might be a chance that Edwards and his team at least has a couple decent cards they can play and put on the table and not get bluffed out here by the UFC and maybe do some bluffing themselves. Maybe that's what's happening here. But the idea that Usman is a foregone conclusion for Edwards is a mistake that the fans are making here, and maybe Usman's team as well. The UFC loves Hamzat Chimaev, and if he comes out there on Saturday and totally destroys Nate Diaz, there is a chance that he's going to find himself in a title fight. Is it the right thing to do? No, but the UFC is not in the business of doing the right thing. The UFC has never been in the business of doing the right thing. The UFC's business is extracting the most cash it can from its fans at that moment. And if Chimaev is going to be able to deliver more money to the UFC at this moment, then that's the fight the UFC is going to make. And in this case, if I'm Edwards, I'm jumping at that fight because this is the fight that's going to get you more money than the Usman rematch. You're going to get paid more to fight Chimaev than you would for Usman because Chimaev is a bigger draw, and bigger draw, more opportunity to get more pay-per-view points, more money in Leon Edwards' pocket. Now, by the same token, if Nate Diaz beats Hamzat Chimaev on Saturday, there's no cards to play here. The UFC needs to just back a cash truck up to Nate Diaz's driveway and just start throwing bags of cash out onto the driveway until Diaz says, enough, I will fight Leon Edwards for the title on a one-fight deal. And then Edwards signs that fight because that is going to make more money than an Usman rematch. And it's going to make more money than a Chimaev fight, especially if the surprise is that Diaz wins this fight on Saturday. All bets are off then. All bets are off. Everyone needs to just throw money at Nate Diaz for a one-off to fight Edwards. And if he beats Edwards, well, then you throw more money at Diaz and more money at Conor McGregor and make that fight happen next. Is that likely to occur? Is Diaz likely to win? I don't think so. So I think the play here is if Chimaev gets a big win at UFC 279, Edwards, if he thinks he can beat Chimaev, and his camp said that that's the fight they want. Now they're negotiating from a place of power for whatever power they can negotiate from, which is minimal with the UFC because the UFC usually holds all the powers. But in this case, Edwards and his team have a little bit of power, and they should play that power, and they should try and get the best deal they can for their fighter. And if that means playing Usman against Chimaev for a future title fight, then that's what Edwards and his team need to do. And from the sound of this, that is what Edwards' team is going to do. In a discussion about the Israel Adesanya and Jared Cannonier fight, Joe Rogan and Kamaru Usman addressed fans who were critical of Adesanya's safe fighting style. They came to the conclusion, more or less, that those fans are ignorant. People are trying to keep it a blood sport, said Usman, and Rogan's reply was, it's just the casuals, man. And I could not disagree more with this. It's just the casuals, man, viewpoint that came from Joe Rogan and Kamaru Usman. The blood sport is what the UFC is selling the fans and has been selling the fans for a long while. And that selling starts from UFC president Dana White. If a fighter fights a technical fight or a safe fight, White is one of the first and loudest voices to criticize that fighter and say that they weren't good, that the fight was useless, that the fight stank because it was quote-unquote boring or quote-unquote safe. He regularly blasts fighters who don't fight up to his standard of violence. White is directing the narrative on this. So you can look at fight night bonuses, performance of the night bonuses. How many of those extra cash awards go to fighters who fight a technical or safe fight? How many of those awards go to a fighter who delivers a technically sound submission? Now, counter that with how many of the awards go to a fighter or a fight that just is out there throwing bungalows? The majority are going to the folks who are throwing bungalows because that's what the UFC is selling. The UFC is selling that blood sport. Dana White is selling that blood sport because they're selling that blood sport to the casuals. So in a way, this is kind of right, but it points the finger in the wrong direction. The finger should not be pointed at the casuals that are being brought in by what they're being sold. Look at the ESPN MMA social media. Look at the UFC social media. Look at the promos and previews for the fight cards that Joe Rogan helps to sell with his overzealous statements during the fights. Rogan is involved with this just as much as White is because he is being used to do White's bidding and selling the fights, selling the blood sport. So this is not just the casuals, man. This is the UFC, ESPN, Dana White directing the narrative to what they want. Yes, they're directing that narrative to more casual sports fans by selling the blood sport, but it is not those fans' fault that this is happening. It's the fault of the UFC and of ESPN and of their social media and their promotional videos and maybe to a point Joe Rogan of selling that blood sport to them. The fans are buying what the UFC is selling in this case, and what the UFC is selling from the top down is blood sport more than technical sport. That's just the way it is. And if Rogan wants to point a finger, that finger shouldn't point at a casual fan, some unnamed, faceless casual fan. That finger should point at the top where it starts, and it starts with Dana White. UFC middleweight champion Israel Adesanya does not seem to be sweating Alex Pereira at all in the lead-up to their UFC 281 fight. And a lot of people are buying into this. Pereira knocked him out in a kickboxing fight, and so therefore he's going to knock him out in an MMA fight. And I am not one of those people who is buying into that, much like Israel Adesanya is not buying into that. And here's what Adesanya had to say. Threat meter, to be honest, as an MMA fighter, I'll give him a 6, if I'm being honest, completely honest, threat meter 6. There's only one thing he's really good at. It's that left hook, and that's where he catches many people with. He's not going to catch me with a flying knee. I agree with Adesanya here. I also think that Pereira, if he is training and getting better at mixed martial arts and not just training and getting better as a kickboxer, which can he really get better as a kickboxer? He's pretty good. But if he's training and getting better as a mixed martial artist, studying grappling, studying takedown defense, wrestling, and not just striking, he has the opportunity here at UFC 281 to move from that 6 to an 8 to a 9 to a 10. But he's only going to get there if he beats Adesanya outside of his own game, outside of the kickboxing framework. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think people are putting far too much into what happened during the kickboxing fight and not considering all the other aspects of the MMA fight. And what we know from what we've seen from Pereira is that he is not really getting better to a championship standard at these other aspects of the MMA game. He's just not. And I don't think that's going to happen at UFC 281 because he is a big man. And I think a lot of his camp is going to be focused on losing weight and getting to 185 pounds more than shoring up his MMA game. And so focusing on the weight cut is going to prevent him from getting better overall. Now, I might be wrong. There might be something going on here where Pereira is getting much better as a mixed martial artist and he's going to surprise us all. I don't think that's the case. I think what we're hearing here is a lot of things that are based on hope and not reality. Folks don't like Adesanya's style, and that 100% makes sense because that style is designed to win him fights, keep him winning fights, and keep him cashing checks. And they're basing their expectations on this fight on what they've seen from Pereira's kickboxing, not from what they see in Israel Adesanya. And let's not forget that there wasn't long ago before Adesanya changed into this quote-unquote safe fighter that he was being hailed as the next Anderson Silva. So it's not like those skills disappeared. Just because he's not using them on the regular doesn't mean they're not there. They're there, but he's not using them. And the reason he's not using them is because he's bought in to the city kickboxing way of looking at fighting. And that way of looking at fighting is get in, sustain the least amount of damage, and get out. I remember this. I interviewed Eugene Behrman a few years ago. I think it was before Adesanya fought Gastelum or before he fought Whitaker, but it was before he was a champion, I think. And what Behrman said was that he had a hard time getting Adesanya to buy into the system, which is get in and get out with the least amount of damage. Behrman didn't really push it because Adesanya was so dynamic and so good of a striker that he wasn't really worried about him fighting in a more footloose style. I think Behrman's outlook has started to get through to Adesanya, and that's probably based on the size of the checks that are coming in. The bigger the check, the safer Adesanya has started to fight, and safe should be in quotes there. I don't think he's a safe fighter. I think he's a smart fighter. And so I think he's finally got the message. You can really make a long run at the champion if you just fight to win and you follow this game plan. And speaking of the game plan, I think a lot of what people are missing here is that City Kickboxing is going to be ready for Alex Behera. And what they're going to be ready for is a kickboxer. And so if you're going to get, and so I think a lot of people are going to be surprised by this fight. I think it's going to be this might be what some fans would consider, if I'm calling it, the most boring fight of Israel Adesanya's career, which means the smartest fight of Israel Adesanya's career. He's not going to take the John Jones approach here, and nor should he, and fight to this guy's strengths. He knows where his weaknesses are. Eugene Behrman knows where his weaknesses are, and they're going to fight to those because that's what City Kickboxing does. It finds a weakness, it exploits it. And if it doesn't have success right away, it goes into the corner between rounds and fixes it until it finds the right mix. This is a very smart fight team that will be very well prepared. And I think fans are going to be even more disappointed in Israel Adesanya at UFC 281 than they have been. I am not going to be disappointed if Adesanya fights a smart tactical fight. That's what he needs to do to win. That's what he needs to do to continue to be champion. And he should do that. To do otherwise is silly. You shoot yourself in the foot if you do otherwise. I don't think he's going to do that. I might be wrong here. Behera might shock us. All signs point to City Kickboxing fighting to Behera's weaknesses, exploiting them. Because like it was real out of sign you said here, he's a 6 as an MMA fighter. Probably a 9 or a 10 as a kickboxer. A kickboxer who transitioned to MMA. But as an MMA fighter, probably a 6. Could change that. Might change that. I don't think this is the fight that's going to change that. UFC 279 picks. Here's what I have for it. UFC 279. Darian Weeks against Johan Lennes. I think Lennes wins this one via knockout. Melissa Martinez, Elise Reed. Martinez via decision. Shannon Helger versus Haile Altang. And Helger via decision. Norma Dumont and Danielle Wolfe. Dumont wins via decision. Jake Collier and Chris Barnett. Collier by knockout. Dennis Tululin and Jamie Pickett. Tululin via decision. Jaltan Almeida against Anton Turkol. Almeida via submission. Hakeem Duwada and Julian Arosa. Duwada wins that by decision. Johnny Walker versus Ion Cutelaba. Cutelaba via knockout. Irene Aldana and Macy Chassan. Aldana by decision. Kevin Holland versus Daniel Rodriguez. Holland wins this via submission. Li Jinglang and Tony Ferguson. Li Jinglang via knockout. And the main event, Hamzat Chimaev versus Nate Diaz. I'm going Chimaev via TKO. If I had to put a prop on this one, I would go Chimaev TKO Dr. Stoppage. Those are my picks for UFC 279.